Thank you, Terry. Again, my name is Daryl Allen. I'm a therapist at St. John's Community Health Investment Corporation, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you to share some of my experiences working as a clinician in a school-based health center. One of the things I have to mention is that I have no financial or commercial relationships to disclose. Now, this slide was recently added to my PowerPoint presentation, and reading it, I figure if I can teach my kids the same statement, I may be a little bit richer, okay? All right. One of the things that we do at St. John's Health Center before we begin our staff meetings, before we begin our day, we start off our day with a reflection. And a reflection is more or less a motivator, some words of encouragement that can help staff just get through their day. And I want to continue that same tradition here at the APHA conference. And I want to share a story titled The Mousetrap. And the story goes like this. It says, a mouse looked through the crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife open a package. What food might this contain? The mouse wondered. He was devastated to discover it was a mousetrap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed the warning. There is a mousetrap in the house. There is a mousetrap in the house. The chicken clucked and scratched. She raised her head and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is of grave concern to you, but it is no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it. The mouse turned to the pig and told him, there's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house. The pig sympathized but said, I am so very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there is nothing I can do. I will keep you in my prayers, be assured. The mouse turned to the cow and said, there is a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house. The cow said, Mr. Mouse, I am sorry for you, but it is no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, head down, dejected, to face the farmer's mousetrap alone. That very night, the sound was heard throughout the house like the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what had been caught. The darkness, she didn't see that it was a venomous snake whose tail the trap had caught. The snake bit the farmer's wife. The farmer rushed his wife to the hospital, and she returned later with a fever. Everyone knows you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard, to the soup's main ingredients. But the farmer's wife's sickness continued, so friends and neighbors came by around the clock to feed them. The farmer butchered the pig. The farmer's wife did not get well. In fact, she died, so many came to her funeral. The farmer had the cow slaughtered to provide meat for all of them. The mouse looked upon it from his crack in the wall with great sadness. So the next time you hear someone is facing a problem and you think it doesn't concern you, remember, when one of us is threatened, we are all at risk. The story of the mousetrap is symbolic to what happens when we turn a deaf ear or blind eye to high school dropouts. Oftentimes we blame educators for this problem of high school dropouts, but the reality of the matter is, it is a public issue, okay? When we look at some of the cause and effects of high school dropout, roughly 1.2 million students did not graduate from high school. The lost lifetime earnings of that class dropout totaled to $154 billion. If just half of the nation's dropouts had graduated, they would have likely have provided the following economic benefits to the nation: $19 billion in increased home sales, $741 million in increased auto sales, $713 million in increased annual state tax revenue. So again, if we don't think that high school dropout impacts us, we need to get on the ball. Other cause and effects: high school dropouts are more likely to live in poverty. High school dropouts commit 75% of the crimes in the United States. High school dropouts are much more likely to have health-related problems. They have less access to quality health care, prevention, and treatment. Now, Terry did ask a question of who's familiar with school-based health centers, and many of you answered the questions. And does anyone in the audience work at a school that has a school-based health center? Okay. If you don't mind me putting you on the spot, can you tell me what impact the school-based health center has had on your school, if any? Thank you. Anybody else want to care to share the impact of school-based health systems in their schools? Go ahead. Thank you. For those who are not familiar with school-based health center, I'm going to take you back down memory lane. Remember back when we were kids and we got sick and the teacher would tap us on the shoulders, we had our head down and we'd give her that look like we're dying, so to speak. And then the teacher would send us to the counselor's office or to the office and we would call our parents and they would have to rush from work, pick us up, drop us off at grandma's and go on with their day. Well, with the school-based health center, those days are over with, okay? We can treat the kids inside of the school, and the more important thing, keep them in class for education. And that's one of the benefits. When we talk about some of the impacts of school-based health center, research has shown that school-based health centers create the conditions needed for education and success by meeting young people's needs for physical and mental health care. They keep students in school healthy and ready to learn. School-based health centers also have been shown to reduce tardiness, absenteeism, and improve grade point average and the overall climate in which impacts graduation rates. Now, let's talk about some of the services that we offer in our school-based health center. And I tend to think of, I want to steal the slogan from State Farm, like a good neighbor, school-based health centers, they're there, and we're there. And we're there for the kids, and I think that's an integral part of what we do. Many times we face children who have chronic needs, both physical as well as mental health. And oftentimes we are the first people, when I say we are, our staff are the first people to identify some of the stressors. And currently where I work, we are a three-man staff in which we have a nurse practitioner. Myself is the mental health clinician. In addition, we have a medical assistant. And we have to assess. We have to provide services to many of the students that we serve who are have chronic conditions. And talk about some of the services that we offer. We offer immunizations, dental, vision, hearing, sports physicals for our students who play sports. They don't have to go to their primary care physician. They can receive their sports physicals on site. We do pregnancy testing. We do sexually transmitted infection testing. We do provide individual group counseling, substance abuse counseling, as well as behavior modification. Now, what makes us school-based health centers unique in preventing high school dropout? One of the things that we do, we keep students healthy. And at St. John's, we believe healthy students are better students. They're better academically. They're better prepared. They come to school with higher self-esteem. So we keep them healthy. In addition to that, we identify barriers that keeps them from learning, such as bullying, such as suicide prevention, teen pregnancy, school violence. I want to read some literature. It's contained in the booklet provided by APHA, and it talks about why do students drop out of high school. And there's a multitude of reasons why children drop out of high school. But I want to read some of the characteristics that contain in the book by Russell Ramberger, in his book titled, Why Do Students Drop Out of High School? And in his book, he talks about school characteristics. And he talks about the quality of the teachers, the level expectations of the students, the school climate, adequate resources in the school, teacher-to-student ratio. These are factors that contribute to why students would want to continue in school. Also, why students drop out of school. When we talk about family characteristics, parenting practices, engagement, oftentimes in our schools we don't have kids or parents to come to the school and engage and be involved in their academic progress. We talk about student characteristics. What are their behaviors outside of school? Oftentimes where we work, I work in the city of Detroit, many of our kids engage in high-risk behaviors outside of school, ultimately leading to them not wanting to come back to school. Psychological, psychosocial contributors, such as the value of education, setting goals, their perspectives, their self-perceptions of who they are. Oftentimes, we have to build our kids' self-esteem to reach the higher levels. Then we talk about community characteristics. What are some of the health challenges that our students face in our community? Working in the city of Detroit, over 50% of the students, or excuse me, 50% of the children in the city of Detroit, they live in poverty. And as a result, there's a lot of social ills connected with that. Talk about some of the risk factors that our kids have to deal with. Transportation at times can be a risk factor for our kids. They can't get to school because they have to take multiple routes just to get to school. Violence in our communities is a high level of violence. A lot of the kids have to endure bullying. They have to deal with some of the pressures of coming to school knowing that they have to kind of fight their way in and out of school. I have a lot of kids that come to me and say, Mr. Allen, I'm just so hungry. Do you have a cracker that you can just give me? Okay? So we deal with a lot of that in our schools. I have a lot of students who deal with substance abuse issues, both in the home with their parents and with themselves individually. And again, one of the things that really concern me is hopelessness. I work with several students who just can't see tomorrow. They just live in the here and now, and they can't see 5 years from now. And it's my challenge to motivate these young men and women to let them know that they do have a future. Okay. Beyond the clinic walls, and this is where school-based health centers play an integral part in this piece with APHA. We have to take our services outside of the clinic, okay? It's one thing to service our kids who come into our clinic, but we have to go beyond the clinic. And what I mean by that, we have to develop partnerships. And one of the things, and Mr. McGee may talk about this, one of the things I really appreciate what he does, he brings partners from various parts of the city to come into the school to provide services to the students. And he believes in this family approach. And one of the things that we do as a health center, we collaborate with the Detroit Police Department to address issues of violence. We talk to health departments to come in and help us with our annual sexual transmitted infection screening. We talk to parents. They have a parent network at Central Collegiate Academy in efforts to build more parent participation. We have the Department of Human Services, and we also work with food banks and Focus Hope to provide family services, not inside just the clinic, but outside in their communities as well. Some of the things that we do as far as activity-wise, we take our kids, we took a group of kids, I think it was about 15 kids, on a kids' mile run. We do this annually. And what we do, we take some of the kids who are obese, some of the kids who may have low self-esteem issues, and we take them on a 5K walk. Some of them can't run during this 5K, and we help them build self-esteem. We also do what we call a STI screening, where we screen all the students in the school for STI infections. Not only do we screen them, we also provide them with education to reduce risk factors of unwanted pregnancy and contractions of STIs. And then we also do an asthma camp where we take 30 or more students on a camp retreat and we educate them about asthma. Now, again, we have limitations as far as how many kids we can take to these events, but the goal is to reach all students, okay? That's one of our goals. Some of our barriers and challenges. Manpower. When you're talking about a three-person team and you're servicing over 1,500 students. You can almost do the math and see what some of the barriers that we face to do the assessments, not only to do the assessment, but to identify the risk and provide services to address those risk factors. That can be a daunting task and somewhat challenging. The time it takes to administer some of these surveys. Like Terry said, they're computerized, so we have to grab the students, we have to set them up on a computer and have them do their surveys. And then the literacy rate. Some of our students, for the most part, they can't read, so we have to sit down with them and, you know, make sure that they answer the questions correctly. My final thoughts in closing, dropout affects us all. We cannot continue to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to this issue. It affects us all. Thank you.